9:08. Welcome back to Big 550 KTRS Cards broadcast. It's a day game today, Cards Phillies. So you want to play a little hooky? Might be fun. The Verizon Wireless First Pitch Show starts at noon. The Charter Communications pregame show starts at 12:33, and the first pitch, Cards Phillies 1:15. Cardinals go for the sweep. They also go for 9 in a row. Mike Claiborne, John Rooney on the call. Then the Cardinals take off for Chicago. Should be a fun weekend series in Chicago. Hey, it's the dog days of summer, and the kids are out of school and have been out of school for a couple weeks. They're not going back for a couple more weeks, and you're probably pulling your hair out saying, what in the world am I going to do with these kids? Well, we have invited Russell Hyken to join us. Is there a pot up? I got a little feedback. Thank you. Russell Hyken is our guest. He's a local therapist who specializes in helping teens and troubled teens and families dealing with all sorts of issues. Russell Hyken, welcome to Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you very much for having me.
Do you see this as the dog days of summer with kids and parents?
Well, when I see it as the dog days of summer, it's when parents haven't communicated properly with their kids about what they're supposed to do.
Oh, you therapists. It's all about communicating, isn't it?
Well, you know, you'll appreciate this. I had a family in my office a couple of weeks ago, and dad wanted to have this conversation with his son. So they're out having a great afternoon. They're playing golf, and they're just about ready to finish up the round. And dad says to his son, you know, you haven't really done much this summer. What are you going to do? And I'm like, well, you know, the attempt to communicate was there, but why ruin a perfectly good day? So anyway, that ruined that afternoon, and they came into my office, and we figured it out properly.
It is really all family issues down to how you communicate and how the communication is heard?
I would agree with that, but you have to set sort of the stage for doing that on a regular basis. So if all of a sudden you walk in, you know, to the house and say, we're going to communicate as a family tonight, first time be met with resistance. But it's the continuity. It's the let's do this a lot. It's the modeling of how we talk. Eventually it sinks in, and you'll be surprised what used to feel forced will feel very natural.
How do you do that? Do you have dinner every night together?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
And very unrealistic. You know, if there's a big topic on the table, what you want to do is give your kids a heads up that you want to talk about it. So don't say to your son or daughter, listen, you haven't done anything all summer, and sorry to bring this up on, you know, the 18th hole. Rather, you know, say to them, hey, tomorrow night, let's have a conversation about what you're going to do with the rest of your summer. You come up with some ideas, I'll come up with some ideas, and let's just figure it out together. Give them time to think and process. Give them a timeline. And then go for the conversation.
See, I don't have any children. Seems like today, though, kids are much more medicated, much more aloof, much more disassociated with the family. Is that accurate or not accurate?
I don't really think that is accurate. I think there's a perception out there. And I do think that, you know, kids may be more medicated than they were 10, 15 years ago. But now we know the issues a lot more clearly. And so I don't see a huge amount of kids on medication. Are they disconnected? Well, once again, I go back to that original comment. How are parents communicating? I mean, you know, the family system's changed so much. Both parents work now. Kids are busier than ever. The quality of work they put out because of all this technology is outstanding. So there is more to do, but there's also should be a time to turn off the cell phones and text messaging and, you know, spend some time.
Right. What about depression and kids? Do you see that as a big issue?
I do see kids that are depressed, and I think we're more aware of what depression looks like, but don't confuse depression with a bad day. And that's what I often see is somebody say, you know, my kid seems depressed lately. Well, tell me more about that. Well, last week he came home from school and was in a really bad mood. And I noticed 3 weeks ago that he was just not having a good day. Well, you know what? The occasional bad day is pretty normal. It's when that depression seems to be pervasive over a long period of time, weeks, months.
But depression is misdiagnosed or undiagnosed in adults.
Correct.
And children.
Correct.
You would agree with that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
And what I think, you know, sort of the model of psychiatry is to not go as in-depth as maybe that we would like them to. So I think if you're going to diagnose a kid in particular with depression, you want to spend time with that child and a professional at length, not just go into one office visit. So if you do get a diagnostic of a depression, you know, make sure you're checking in with a mental health therapist as well, so you can kind of talk through it and make sure that we've really got the correct diagnosis. It's not like a sports injury or asthma or eyeglasses where you can measure it very specifically. It's just not that easy.
What about when you tell you, of course, you want the kids to communicate, and the kid comes home and he's 16 years old and he says, all right, Dad, you want to hear it? I got drunk last Saturday night, and the dad goes off, how dare you, and screams and yells and rants and raves, the kid's not going to talk the next time.
Right. So the follow-up question should be, what'd that feel like? How often have you done it? Real casual conversation. You know, how, what'd you feel like the next day? You know, sort of go for that conversation. You know, there is developmentally appropriate behavior. Not that I agree that kids should go out there and drink, but it does happen. And so how you talk about that sets the foundation for, are they going to do it again? At what level are they going to do it again? But also be happy that your kid came home and told you that, unless he's telling you that just to make you mad.
Right. But it's almost like I can hear the questions from the parents out there. Yeah. If I found out my kid got drunk, if I found out my daughter had sex, if I found out my kid cut school, I'm not going to sit him down and say, how do you feel? I'm going to sit down and give him the backside of my hand.
And you know what? And punishment is appropriate. But also, you know, you got to get to the core of, well, why are they telling you this? Because, you know, for a daughter to come home and tell her father, I just had sex over the weekend.
Well, okay, let's not say that. But let's say he finds out, or he finds them in the bedroom, or finds them in the car, or finds some paraphernalia, which leads him to believe they're having sex.
Anger is an appropriate reaction. So don't discount the let's talk and communicate as saying, hey, don't punish and don't have consequences. It's how you handle the consequences. So let's just say you catch your kid doing that. You're allowed to blow up. You're allowed to enact a consequence, although make it reasonable. If you're going to ground your kid for a month, you're just going to have more problems because there's no end in sight. But after that initial heated argument, go back to them and say, okay, you know, I flew off the handle. I agree. You are punished. But let's talk about it, because what we're trying to do is teach kids how to think. And so in the moment, we can't do that. But when you have time to reflect, you know, that son or daughter may say, you know what, that was probably not the smartest thing to do. And so make sure you're open to that conversation. You know, kids are going to do things wrong, and we want to be there as parents to support them and help them make better decisions. And when they go to college, nothing you can do.
When the kids go to college, do the relationships between the parents and the kids get better?
I'd like to hope so. I think as families grow older, you want to have a strong foundation, but they should improve. And I think you need to start interacting with your older teens and young 20s kids a lot differently, and start to maybe share things from your day per se, and not that you're peers with them, but sort of treat them more in that peer way. You know, if you had a bad day at work, share that with your 20-year-old kid. You know, if you come home and, you know, some guy at the drugstore, you know, took way too long with the cashier and really frustrated you, and then he did something totally ridiculous, share those types of slice of life stories to let them know you're human and that you can interact about something not so serious.
Should you tell your teens and your kids how much the mortgage is, how much the light bill is, how much the cell phone bill is, how much the car payment is, how much the car insurance is?
Yes, within reason. You know, you can certainly share all those things, and there are certain bills that kids should really be made aware of quickly. I think the cell phone bill is a great place to start talking about the value of a dollar, because kids are getting cell phones at earlier and earlier ages. And that's a conversation for another day as to what's the appropriate ages.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, if you got a 13, 14-year-old with a cell phone, you know, you should take that kid to the cell phone store and say, listen, this is what we've got in your budget. And for $50 a month, you can have unlimited talking and 300 texts, or unlimited texts and 3 hours of talking, and sort of take them through that things cost money, and the cell phone's really real and tangible. As they get older, starting to share that life is expensive and that there are utility bills. You don't want to tell them that you're in debt and stress them out,
right?
But certainly saying, hey, listen, you know, when they get that summer job and say, hey, let's talk about what your car insurance is and how much you can put towards that, they need to see those things.
Yeah. What about the old adage, when you come back from college, you're under my roof, you're going to live under my rules?
I think that's got to switch, because more kids are coming home from college to live with their parents.
I'm 30, Dad. Come on.
So there's a point where you say, you know what, you need to get out of the house. But they have to be respectful. You know, staying out till 4 in the morning is just disrespectful. And so there has to be a certain level of respect, saying, hey, you know what, I am going to stay out late, but I will be home by a certain time. I will pull my weight around the house. I don't expect mom to cook me breakfast every morning and do my laundry. So have those conversations up front about the expectations before you get that older kid in the house who's going to start, you know, wreaking havoc.
Do children divide parents and conquer?
Oh, yeah. We call that splitting in the business. And sometimes the parents will side with a child and throw the other parent under the bus.
Right.
Really hard problem to deal with if it happens frequently. There will be times, of course, in any family where that will occur. But if it happens frequently, you need to work with someone.
What should the parents do? The parents should remember that they're on the same side.
They should remember they're on the same side. They should have a conversation in private about how they're going to react. Try to support your spouse as much as you can. If you are disagreeing with them, then make sure you don't do it in front of your child, because we model the behavior we want our kids to take with them throughout their lives. So if I am constantly arguing with my spouse, which I don't, and I do that in front of my kids, then they're going to think that's the norm. And when they get married, they're going to do that. And it just creates communication problems, relationship problems. Instead, you need to problem solve as adults in a reasonable way.
And it's okay to say, we'll be back. We're going to talk. We'll be back. We'll let you know, yes or no.
Yeah, definitely. What a great thing to show your kids. Hey, we're in disagreement right now. We're going to go have a civil conversation about what we want to do.
Right. When I was growing up, my mother, single mother, raised six of us. She would believe me and then verify. So I'd say, I'm going to Bob's house Saturday night at 8 o'clock. She'd be like, okay, sure, great. And then she would knock on Bob's door or call Bob's mom at 8:30 to find out if I was actually there. Is that right? Is that wrong? Is that, what is that?
Well, I think that it is okay to initially follow through, you know, on what your son or daughter is doing. But as they show responsibility and honesty, it's time for parents to pull back a little bit. So if they show responsibility, then give them more responsibility. If they are constantly acting out and doing inappropriate things, then it's time to sit down and figure out why.
So since she never found me at Bob's house at 8 o'clock, which is why she kept calling.
You got it. But, you know, these days kids can be a lot more savvy and just text mom. I'm there.
Right, call
me on my cell phone.
Right. That's a good point. You don't. What about dropping off somebody at a house? Do you want to make sure that the parents are there? Do you want to check in with the parents? You're having a party. Do you want to make sure there are parents at the party?
Well, every family is going to have different rules around that. But I say that parental supervision is probably a smart thing. So I would try and at least get an indication of whether the parents are going to be there, and maybe even at some point contacting the parents and see if you trust them as well.
Right. Russell, do you have one or two things that every parent should take away from this conversation?
The one thing I think that everyone should take away, and we've said it already, is just communicate properly with your kids. You know, set a time and talk about the problems. And spend time with your kids. That's the biggest thing. You know what? If you're a busy working professional and there's a big event or something, make sure it's on your calendar. Don't miss it. Kids remember, and they want their parents there.
And really, the summertime, with so many different avenues and so many different things, the kid really should not be in the house playing video games all day long.
Oh, no. And if they are, then figure out things for them to do collaboratively. Go work at your grandparents' house. Tackle a project around the house. Go learn something fun and new with your kids. It's slightly dangerous. They'll enjoy it.
Right. I mean, you have Google. So, I mean,
right.
If the kid is interested in anything,
right,
just Google it and follow your dreams.
There
follow
is
your
a,
hobbies.
You got it. There's a lot to do in St. Louis, so take advantage. We're a nice-sized city with a lot to offer.
Russell Hyken, what's the website?
It is teenparentingexpert.com.
Teenparentingexpert.com. Russell Hyken, family therapist. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. 921 here on the Big 550 KTRS.